Okay, as we left off last week, we were looking at our gifts. I'm sure we all like gifts. You know, we looked at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Also, we looked at sign gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, we looked at sign gifts. They are gifts that we no longer use. And Paul had rebuked the church at Corinth because he was saying, look, people, you know, I love you, but you're not using these gifts and the spirit of love. And eventually, when the word of God came, that which was done was finished and complete, and the word of God was that. And so, with that being said, there was a loving rebuke. Remember in 1 Corinthians, it says there that, you know, Paul said, I'm going to treat you like children. You know, if you don't really know how to handle these gifts, God worked it all out anyway, amen? And what happened was is that they needed to grow up in the Lord. And I think we all do. We all do. There's times when we have our spiritual gifts that we have today. We looked at that last week. And Romans chapter 12 and verses 6 through 8, we looked at those six gifts there that the Holy Spirit gives to us. And actually, each one of us has a gift, a major gift, okay? And we all share in all the different gifts that there is, okay? And, you know, we went through the teaching, the mercy, and we went through the other gifts that there is that God gives to us. And so we look through that because we want to know how we can edify, equip, and help us to mature in the Lord. That's what they're there for. And so if you have time, you want to look at last week's message, it's there online. We went into great detail about the strengths of these gifts and the weaknesses. We all have our strengths and we all have our weaknesses with each of our spiritual gifts. And so with that being said, today we're going to be looking at putting off and putting on the new man, taking off the old man, which is our old fleshly nature, our old ways about ourselves. And so Paul is doing this transition here. He says, you know, continuing here in this verse 16, from which the whole body is joined and knit together with every joint supplies according to the effect of working, which every part does its share, causing the growth of the body and edifying itself in love. So we are here to edify each other, to build each other up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he switches gears a little bit here, and he's now referring to what you were, because this is like a solemn type of warning here. Look, he says, you're still who you are. Witness to a guy not long ago, and I said, you know, I shared my testimony, and I said, I am still who I am, but I has to be more of Christ. Now, when we get the Holy Spirit that comes into our life once we're saved, it's there. It's all a matter on how much we allow for it to grow in our lives, okay? But the problem is sometimes we grieve the Holy Spirit, we suppress it, and there's more of us that's going on. That's where we get in trouble. And Paul's saying, look, you have these gifts for the church. We looked at how to pray in the body of Christ and to walk in unity together. And he goes, you have these gifts. Now, you have to be careful about the old man. We all have that sinful nature that rebels. And so that's something that's very normal. We shouldn't beat ourselves up about it. We get it under the blood of Christ. We forgive. We ask God for forgiveness. We move on with our lives. We ask more of the Holy Spirit's filling. Some teachers are out there today. You need the second work of grace. And also we look at sign gifts that are no longer in use. They talk about the second work of grace. You're not spiritual enough. You have your first work of grace. You know, you were saved. Second work of grace is that you need all these sign gifts, you know, talking about tongues and miracles and so on and so forth. And Remember, the tongues, originally it was for the unsaved, and you had to have an interpreter. We looked at that last week. And people had a problem with spiritual pride. And so we still have to watch that today. So we need to take off the old man, put on the new man, Jesus Christ. And so looking at this, Paul goes on to say, so as the church, he says, this I say therefore, and to testify of the Lord, that you should, and what Paul is saying, look, I am just as much as a sinner as the rest of you all here today. And we are just all sinners just as much, but we are saved by the grace of God. God, we belong to him and he belongs to us. And we are his children and he is our father. So he says, this I say therefore and testify of the Lord that you should no longer walk in the rest of the, as the Gentiles walk. In other words, you need to put that past behind you. You learn from your past and you move on. Okay, you're growing in the Lord now. And those things that have a tendency to creep up in you, you know what? Just put them behind you. Put them behind you. It's a spiritual battle. Like it says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, we wrestle with the flesh and the spirit. Wrestle has the idea of trench warfare. Has the idea of two opposing sides that are fighting with you back and forth, okay? And don't confuse that with some people call it a split personality. I don't think anybody has a split personality here, but you have that spiritual battle going on. And so he says, I don't want you to walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility. That means the vanity, because even Solomon knew this. He got the picture right away. He was like, you know, all is vanity. Read the book of Solomon, Ecclesiastes. You know, one part when I first read it as a baby Christian, I thought, my goodness, this is so depressing. Everything's empty. I was reading it the wrong way. It is without God. It's empty. It has no fulfilling. It has no lasting promises because people say, you know, I brought nothing in the world. I brought nothing out of the world when I die. But yet, you know, when at that funeral yesterday, yep, the Lord Jesus Christ was lifted up. Okay. It says here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, I love what Paul said because he knew he was going home to be his Lord. He goes, well, I'm ready to be poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. And I have fought the good fight, and I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also all who love his appearing. So Paul was looking forward to that. And as we get older in the Lord, we're looking forward to that. We will have a crown of righteousness. That means God imputed his righteousness to us. Because when we get to heaven, we looked at Revelation, Sunday school, there will be no more sin. It's wonderful. It'll be a glorious time. And that will be a time of perfectness that we've never, eye has not seen, ear has not heard. So Paul is saying here, getting back here to Ephesians chapter 4, is talking about what you used to be. He says, and a warning, having their understanding darkened. And, you know, so the God of this world has blinded them. And so that spiritual light has not penetrated to them. So we cannot see the light unless God shows himself to us. And I tell people and over and over again, you have a choice today to make. Once you're saved, you still make choices, spiritual choices. You can live in the past, you know, and a person cannot walk having one foot in the ground and one foot above the ground. It's very hard to walk. You end up falling over, and you want to get on that ground, the ground of Christ, and walk with him. So being alienated, it has the idea that their understanding was darkened and was alienated because their continued rejection. I have met some Christians that I wouldn't even know they were Christians because you can't tell the difference between an unsaved person and a carnal Christian. You can't because they have suppressed the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean they're not saved. It does not mean they have to get saved all over again, which is a wrong doctrine. It's heresy. But, you know, you can't tell. I've met some Christians like that, and they have told me too. And I said, well, you know, why don't you get on the winning side? And they needed some counseling and some help. And you know what? They're living for the Lord now. They're on fire for the Lord. So it says here, from being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance. That means they have willful ignorance, again, and that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So they're just blinded by all this. And, you know, we all have to be careful. And he's referring to Christians. Christians today can walk right back into the world and do those things. God will chastise them. But you have to watch out for your desires today. We all do. We all have desires. There's nothing wrong with a desire. You know, we may have problems by being accepted by others. Lord, am I going to be accepted? Being loved by others. People are yearning to be loved today, but they go to all the wrong places. Pleasure. People, there's nothing wrong with the word pleasure. You know, you have the pleasure sitting down with your family or your loved ones, and you have a good day in the Lord, but you take it beyond that. That's when you get in trouble. And also, wealth and security. Some people put that before everything else, and they get themselves in trouble, and they become very selfish. Achievement. Some people have a good idea for achievement, but where are your achievements going to be? You know, are they going to be God honoring? Okay. Notoriety or fame. You know, it's one thing just to be in the shadows, so to speak. You know, and I'm reminded of this story here with as it was with Phil Donahue. We're all familiar with Phil Donahue, and he said years ago, he said he says, I was a young reporter, and he went to this church that was in West Virginia, poor people, and there was mining that went back down there in the day, coal mining. This is years ago, and he says, you know, he said, I had seen this preacher with the congregants praying for the husbands down in the mine shafts. You know, there was a terrible accident. So they were praying, it was in the news, and Phil Donahue comes up with this camera and this recorder. It was so cold, and he says, we're trying to warm the camera up, keep it warm. He said, just keep it running. Finally, there was an answer to prayer. The miners were brought back up. They were reunion with the loved ones and cousins and wife. It was such a beautiful time. But Phil said, you know, I didn't think too much of preachers. God's people back in his days, but since that group of people changed my life, I don't know if Phil was saved or not. I'm not going to go there. But he went up to the preacher, and the people says, can you all do this again? Because they got their camera on. And the preacher says, no, we're not. And we're not going to pose for you. You know, that a poser means a pretender. Okay? And he says, you know, he just realized he had all the respect. Because those people weren't there for cameras, they were there for the Lord. And they meant business. They were like, we got to pray now. We need to pray for people. They need help. You know? And today, we need help. We need help in the Lord because, you know, we're not here for show. God forbid if we're like that for that. We're here because of Jesus. We're here because of Him, what He's done in our lives. And we can't wait to tell other people by our testimony. So, and the list could go on, you know, as we struggle for our desires. We have to be very careful with our desires. We have them in the right place to please the Lord and others and to put ourselves last, so to speak, in a humble way. And God lifts us up in due time, and God blesses us with many blessings there. And I could go on down to the list here about personal attractiveness. You know, there's nothing wrong with being attractive looking. Just be careful where you have your boundaries there. And, of course, self-control and self-acceptance. So there are many areas in our life that we have to check and make the bounds, so to speak. So going on here, so Paul is saying here, be careful about what you were in the past. You know, we need to check about our will. There's people went back to their willful ignorance of God. And then verse going down here to verse 19 to 18, it says, and then is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being in the past feeling, and some people have no feelings for God. I've met some people who said, yeah, I used to be a Christian, but I'm not a Christian anymore. My heart is so hard. And yet those people we never need to give up on have given themselves over to lewdness. Now he's saying this is a horrible thing to have. That means lasciviousness. That means to let the lust run loose. And because we're in a mixed crowd, I'm not going to get into that. But you understand what I'm saying. There's no control. And we see as some people are just, I feel so sorry for them because they're in the cesspools of life. They're at the bottom of the barrel. And to work with all uncleanliness, that has the idea of dirty behavior, and with greediness, that means covetousness. And our Lord Jesus Christ said one thing about be careful, watch out for covetousness, because covetousness means that you want what somebody else has. You can never be satisfied. You know, it's like trying to catch somebody running around a barn, and you know you can never catch them, you know? And so you've got to be careful about that. We have to be careful about what we come up against and what we do. You know, and people look at our character. Our character is so important. You know, it's what our character is when nobody's around or when we're by ourselves. We really get to know ourselves. And yes, we all have thoughts going through our mind. But let me give you some grace, my brother. You can say no to it and fight it back. And you can be yourself with the Lord. That's okay. You know, and you have good character. That's your personality. That's who you are. And we're all different characters. I'm not saying some people say, well, you're a real character. Well, you know, hey, be who you are. Be who God calls you to be. And God will use you above and beyond anything that you've done before. And so with that being said, as we move along here, he says, be careful about those. So, and it goes on to say, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught of him as the truth in Jesus. So, you know, we have learned about Christ, and it's so important to follow the footsteps of Jesus Christ. In other words, his character. Remember all these lessons that we've learned through the Bible, that you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now, there's a warning here, and I'm giving everybody here a warning, including myself, because there's a lot of people in the Bible who did not listen to God. Listen to this. Adam gained wisdom but lost his fellowship with God. Cain gained self-satisfaction but lost his presence with God. Lot gained the fertile plains of Jordan but lost his testimony to Sodom. Esau gained a meal but lost his birthright. Moses got water from the rock but forfeited his right to enter into the promised land. Naomi gained fullness in Moab but lost the sweetness of the Lord. Samson gained a woman but lost his sight of power with God. Old Eli, he attained a position but lost his sons to the devil. Achan gained the gold of Jericho, but lost his family. Israel gained a man king, but lost the real king, God. Saul gained the spoils of war, but lost his throne. David satisfied his flesh, but lost the joy of God's salvation. Solomon gained fame, but lost favor with God because of his love for strange women. Hezekiah gained his health, but lost his godly influence before the heathen ambassadors. Israel gained self-life, but lost her testimony as God's nation. Belshazzar gained the pleasures of sin, but lost his kingdom. The rich man in the New Testament fared sumptuously every day on earth, but lost his own soul. Judas gathered 30 pieces of silver, but lost his best friend he ever had. Barnabas gained his point but lost his place with Paul in the missionary story. Paul gained an appeal with Caesar but lost his calling to go to the Gentiles. Remember, he wanted to go to Spain? He wanted to go to other places? But Look, Paul loved the Lord. And these people, some of them really loved the Lord, like David. But you know what? It wasn't as good as it could have been. But God still found mercy and grace in the sight of the Lord. And these people repented. And remember, we reap what we sow. Demas gained the world but lost God's blessing in his service. You know, it was like right after Paul had penned his words in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 6 through 8, while he was in jail, my time is at hand. He says, Demas has forsaken me for the world. Says here that, and the Ephesians, who we're going through the book of Ephesians, right now, grew in the knowledge and abounded in faith, but they lost their first love. Oh, how easy that is to get so worked up in the Lord that you forget about the most important one, and that's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so easy to do that. We have to, my brethren, we have to be so careful. Those in Pergamos and Thyatira gained prestige in their compromise with the apostates and the devil, but lost the full importance of the truth in Revelation chapter 2:12-29. And of course, as we today, the Laodiceans gained worldly goods, but lost their spiritual vision. And we see that in the churches today. We have some very rich churches. Not all churches have money. We're not going to be deceived about that. But they lost their spiritual vision. How easy it is to forget, how easy it is to get so big or even so small and forget what God has done here. So Paul is getting back. Let's get back here to Ephesians. So Paul is saying in chapter 4, he says in verse 22 that you put off the former conduct of the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. If you don't get it under control, it will continue like little leaven. Leaven's the whole lump. Of course, we all heard that with bread. Oh, I love the smell of bread. Oh, I love it when, you know, I smell fresh bread. And I remember Charles back there in the back room passing out the bread. He enjoyed it so much, you know. And it's such a blessing. Yeah, good memories. Oh, why not, you know? Love the brethren. That means think of good things, think of wholesome things. And Charles was back there and he goes, that smile, even though he had the COPD and he was wearing that tube up his nose, he goes, I can't get away from this. I think I'm going to take it all home with me. You know, he was so sweet, so dear. Can't get away from a guy like that. You had to laugh. And he says, Paul says, and be renewed in the spirit of the mind. That means constantly we have to be renewed. We have our physical renewedness, and we need our spiritual renewedness. We have to do this because if not, we're powerless. We're going to have problems. And that you put on the new man who's created God in true righteousness and holiness. Okay? So God is saying here in the aorist tense, and I don't want people to think, what are you talking about, Greek for me? It has the idea that was an action that was done in the past, Paul is saying, in the aorist tense, you did this in the past. Now, get going on with the new man and live that now. Put away the old man. You don't need that. But you're like, oh yeah, I know, I want to do that, but I'm fighting with it every day. And that's normal. And you know what? That's a sign of your salvation too. It shows that you are really saved because you understand the Spirit bears witness with one another in the Word of God. So he goes on to say here, you know, you got your spiritual gifts, you got your prayers in church, you got all this going on for the saints of God. But also, he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And he says, put away all lying. Each one of you speak true to his neighbors, for we are members of one another. You know, it's like this. You know, you get people who are good at lying. And there's a lady who went down to Florida not long ago. I'm not going to mention her name. She sent me a text. And she goes, pray. We have Venezuelan gangs down in Florida. She sent me this last week. Actually, they dress up as Amazon, you know, delivery people. And they come into these gated cages where you think, you know, older folks would be safe. They're pretenders. And they lie and tell people, hey, we're here from Amazon, we're
some of the drivers of their country, they're not going to worry about it because they have friends at home. But these, they pick up the UPS drivers and, beat them up and take their truck. Anyway, these people go into these communities, these Venezuelan gang members, and they, break into people's homes. They buy a van, paint it up, put a logo sticker on it, so easy, get a uniform. I mean, these people are evils, they're evil smart. And they do these things.
And so, Paul's saying, put away all lies. And, that kind of deal. And then it says here that we need to speak truth. And be angry and do not sin and not let the sun go down in your wrath and give not place to the devil. The devil is a liar and he's a murderer. And he is the father of murderers. And he is one who's angry because his time's short. And what doctors have told us, they said, for people who let that anger grow, eventually they could become murderous. And so we need to be praying for people, especially our college kids. It's amazing. You have 60,000 people waiting to get back into their settlements in Israel, northern Israel. They don't tell you that. You have to pretty much go on a Christian news station. And you have Hamas who's shelling Israel. Of course, Israel was like, you just murdered 6 people about 3 or 4 weeks ago in that tunnel. One was an American. And we're going to go get back at you. And of course, you knew the story about the cell phones and how that was all rigged and it blew up in Hamas's hands and people that supported it. And then on top of that, it was like, okay, we're going to take this one step further. And so they have been launching a lot of barrages and killing off a lot of Hamas's leadership. Well, what amazes me, you get these kids and the universities, a very small percentage. Amazing how the devil always goes to the leadership. Watch your leadership. It's gone woke. A lot of people don't like it. A lot of people are getting tired of it. A lot of people are getting frustrated. This is not working. So what happens is that you've got a lot of angry kids who are protesting today. And you only get a small percentage. They send them to these universities and they get the others wound up. And then the ones who don't know Jesus, don't know a Lord, they're looking for something. Each person today in this world was created to worship. And who are we worshiping every day as Christians? God. That's your goal, is to glorify and to worship Him every day. And so Paul's saying here, look, put away all this anger. And, nor give place to the devil. Let him steal no longer, but rather give him who labor, working with his hands, what is good, that may have something to give him who has in need. And pray about these Venezuelan gang members. The lady who told me about that's very real. Sometimes you think that you are protected, but our real protection comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. And pray that they'll get saved. I've met some of the most horrible people, but yet over time, they'll be at peace with you because you're right with God. Remember, God says in Romans chapter 12, you're right with God, even your enemies will be at peace with you. How's that happen? Because of the love of Christ. Just love them. Don't get angry. Don't stoop. Don't be stupid, as the saying goes, or stoop down to hurt. Don't do that. Love them. And keep yourself under control. It's amazing how you let things go by. And you're under control, and they're just bouncing off the walls, doing this and that. And after a while, after a ball bounces off the wall, it starts to settle down, and then it stops. And your enemies will stop. Doesn't necessarily, it's going to end everything, because there'll be more enemies if you're living right for Christ. You will have enemies. So you need to pray for them. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good for the necessary edification that may impart grace to the hearers. It's amazing with this mudslinging with the politicians nowadays. I was reading an article about Alexander Hamilton. Back in 1789, there was a newspaper article put out that his opponent put this in there. And of course, this has been going through many times, but this article said that he was sleeping with one of his slaves. He had an extramarital affair. Well, it's amazing how many people believe it. You know? It's amazing how many people will believe a lie. Well, of course, Alexander Hamilton became president, and they exposed the lie for who it was. But back in the day, all you had was newspapers and word of mouth. And either you can do much good with the word of mouth, or you can destroy people's lives. I have seen people's lives ruined because of naysayers, or we call them gossips, or storytellers. And it's so sad to see that happen. That's why if you hear about something, think about, would I want to have somebody talk about that about me? No. Then you need to go to that person. No. That is not what's going on. You don't have the facts right. And unfortunately, that goes on a lot in God's houses today. A lot of God's churches, you got people talking bad about one another. And I really believe there's a guy came to our church parking lot one day while Kimberly and I were leaving. And he goes, "We need revival." And he says, "Watch, we start something here at this church." And I looked at him and I says, "It's guess what? You've got a problem. I have a problem." But this person needed to get things right with the Lord. He left the church. I'm not going to get in detail, but apparently it wasn't in a nice way and it hurt people. And he never came back to apologize. Never got things right. And you wonder why there isn't revival in churches today. And some people go to church for all the wrong reasons because it's a big church. They feel good. And they're like, "Oh, good, I can get away from that church because I didn't like them and they didn't handle it right. And they left the wrong way and they hurt people and they took other people with them. They spoke evil of them." And there's so much. My home church went through 3 church splits because of that. For the most ridiculous things. My pastor told me that. I was just like, wow. But you know, in due time, God built the church back up. Now there are over 1,500 people. And, you know, God is blessing. But it's only a warning to the wise. Don't be part of it. Stay away from it. Have nothing to do with it. And just keep this shut. Unless you're part of the problem or the solution, then by all means, say something and rebuke that. You don't have to be part of that. I don't think God wants us to be part of that. So going on here, it says, "No corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, necessary to edification." I love that. "And may impart grace to the hearers." Oh, we need to be grace tellers. And people need that. People need to be built up. We all need that. "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God." In other words, the Spirit of God, you realize, is a personality that lives within us. And we can cause him pain, offend him, vex him, or sadden him. Did you know that? And I, you know, over the years, I'm coming more and more to realization like that. I want to be more of Jesus, more Christ-like. And of course, I have my own personality. We all have personalities. All of us need to be more of God, okay? And it goes on to say here, Paul is saying here, we're closing here. So don't grieve, but by him you were sealed on the day of redemption. Remember, you don't lose your salvation. You're sealed. You belong to him. And you're a child of the King. "And let all bitterness," that means resentment, harshness, or grudges, "wrath," that means a wild rage, uncontrolled, anger, smoldering, deep feeling. I never like to be part of any of these. I tell you, it's pretty bad. And then there's clamor, arguing, fussing, loud talking. Oh, I don't, none of us want to be around people like that, including ourselves. And evil speaking as the root word for malice. In other words, you beat up on people that haven't done anything wrong. You speak evil just because it makes a person feel better? How can you feel better beating up on other people? I never understood that. That's a form of verbal abuse. And God help us if any of us are like that. But I love what he says here. But put away from you with all that and be kind. The root word for kind is the word for gentle, caring, helpful, courteous, giving, useful. I like that. I like being around people like that. I take them 24/7. I'll take what I can get. And then it says tender-hearted. It means to show compassion, mercy, understanding, love, tender-heartedness, and warmth. That means you're still strong. You're still a strong woman or man of God. But these strengths that you have, then it goes on to say here, tender-hearted, forgiving. It means a gracious pardon, a person to pardon. You know, the president of the United States is near his last day in office, usually pardons people. Isn't it wonderful that God can pardon us? You know, and that word pardon, I looked that up, and it has the idea that anybody that the president today pardons, that means he has a clean slate. That means he has done nothing wrong. Did you know that? And so some people use it for political reasons. Our Lord did it for mankind. And don't get confused with universalism. That means for God so loved the world. And they take that word and they take it out of context. And the devil uses that and saying, oh, that means everybody's going to heaven. No, they're not. No, they're not. They have to come to Jesus first and follow his footsteps. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. So, whoa, that is powerful. Forgave us. So the reflection here is this morning, if we're taking off the old and putting on the new, we should see that reflecting. You know, like if you go over to the water's edge and you hear the lapping of the water, whether it's a beach or probably a pond is better. Because you get to a river, it's rushing by. You go to the ocean, too much noise. Go to a pond, a clear pond, and you look into that pond. You see a reflection of yourselves, don't you? You should see a reflection of Jesus. Let that reflection of God reflect in you. So that's my encouragement and exhortation today, and I pray that the Lord can help us all, because we all need the Lord today more than we ever have. So we're going to go in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we have a choice to put off the old and put on the new. We want to get less and less of ourselves, the bad part of out of ourselves, our sinful nature, and have more of you, so the Holy Spirit can raise up in us and people can see the Lord. People need to know the Lord. People need to see the Lord. Help us, Lord, this week that reflection in that water, so to speak, that you can see Jesus in you. And nothing, you know, God made us for who we are, but thank God we have the victory in Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to live that way. And an invitation too for somebody online, or maybe somebody here is not sure about their salvation, but if you don't know Christ as your Savior, oh, please don't miss the opportunity. Like I said yesterday, you know, life is so short. Time goes by so quickly. Take time and think about your eternity. Where are you going to be? You have a choice. Either there's one place called heaven for those who accept Christ as their Savior and live by Him and know Him and understand Him. And then there's the others who reject God, say, you know, I don't want God. I don't want anything to do with Him, and I hope you just leave me alone. Oh, you don't want to go to hell, my friend. And I pray, God, that you know you would convict each one of us and those online of the way, the truth, and the life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.